we've been kind of teasing around the edges the last couple of weeks of a new series that I wasn't sure how it was going to come together, how it was. It's been more like bits and pieces from each seem to be coming together in different ways in my mind. And I know a lot of people, a lot of pastors pre-plan sermon series, and they have the whole year set out, and they say, this is what I'm going to do for the next 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. This will be the preaching calendar and have all that. I tried that. I'm really bad at calendars to begin with, and I'm not great at schedules. And so somebody saying this is what you have to preach on this Sunday is, even when it's myself telling me that that's what I have to preach on that Sunday, doesn't work real well for me. And so I tend to be a little bit more, what's the word for that? What's the nice word for procrastinating? I'm more spur of the moment kind of. No, it's whatever God's been leading, and I feel like God's saying in the over the course of a week or in a month or just in my life or in the people's lives that I'm encountering, and I really feel like that's part of community is speaking and teaching and praying and being in those moments together, and it feels. And I don't say anything against people that are able to. I wish I could have a preaching calendar that I'd stick to. But it just, to me, it helps me feel alive in what we're doing together with this. So I've been kind of teasing around the edges of this and a little bit of overlap from week to week with ideas. And we're on the kind of the beginning now of a new series that I want to call Relentless. And today's not called Relentless. Today's going to be kind of the precursor to that. But it's the idea of God pursuing us in the way that he pursues us and the way that he wants to be pursued. And that's where we're going to be next week. That's where we're going to spend our time next week. If you want to read ahead, look at Psalm 42. We're going to spend a good bit of time on Psalm 42, but that's for next week. Don't look there now. You'll miss. Next week. No, that's where we're going to be playing at next week. With the idea of God's relentless pursuit of us. But today, I want to talk about kind of the lead in to that seeking. And it's the idea of putting down roots into our relationship with God, into Christ, to putting down roots and creating a foundation, creating a network, creating a place that draws up nourishment from the source that we're trying to live out of. And I'm going to use as the scripture today. Go ahead and you can turn there with me and we'll read that together. It's kind of an obscure passage in Colossians. I love Colossians. It's a very concentrated book on the idea that Christ is the number one thing in our lives, that he's the one that's above all, and we need to acknowledge him and be with him and be strengthened by him and allow him to work in us and see him work in other people and seek him constantly. But it's sort of concentrated in just a couple of short little chapters there. I love that. But there's this verse that's right in the middle of one of Paul's dissertations, and it's in Colossians 2, verse 7. And we're only going to read the first half of verse 7. Here's what it reads in my Bible. It says, "Let your roots grow down into him," that's Christ, "and draw up nourishment from him so that you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught." Let me read that again. "Let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him so that you will grow in your faith and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught." Let's pray. God, it is your truth that we seek. I pray that this series, the words that you're leading me to this week, and that I've sort of been talking about just in private and personal life, that, Lord, these words would be life-giving to others as well, that you have a plan for how you want us to move through the nourishment that you bring, how you want us to live our lives and walk through all of these things daily with you. So, Lord, would you guide us and lead us? Would you turn our hearts to you? just remove barriers that are in the way for us to be able to learn and to hear and to really put our full selves into you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought to start off this idea with this discussion about putting down roots, because if we're going to talk about a life of being pursued and pursuing, a life of being relentless, a life of charging after the things that we want, there has to be some sort of sustenance. There has to be something that's behind it all if we're going to be able to do it. You can't hope to go out and say, I want to run a marathon. And you're going to need to train every day. And you can't say, I want to go out and train, I want to run a marathon, and not eat properly or drink enough water or drink enough, get the electrolytes in you. You can't say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work on a construction site all day long for 12 hours and not eat lunch or breakfast. There you can't hope to achieve these big things in our lives without properly preparing and without properly putting in the things into your body that you need to be able to support you for the long haul. You can do things for a while, but ultimately it'll crumble and fail if it doesn't have enough sustaining power. Roots are an interesting part of a plant, and it's an interesting analogy to bring in. You know, roots are, they serve several purposes. Probably the most obvious is that they're the thing that draws up the nutrition. They draw up the nutrients from the soil. They draw up the water from the soil. They draw up whatever it is that the plant needs to be able to survive. And so they create, if you want, a conduit through which everything is brought up and drawn in and nourishes the plant. But it does more than just bring in the nutrients and draw them in. It also serves another purpose. Anybody else know what it is? Yeah, that's it. It's stability. It creates an anchor of sorts that allows the plant that's growing to be able to stand firm. We've all seen trees that have fallen over. But, I mean, we live in Georgia, and the majority of trees stay standing no matter the amount of rain, the amount of wind, the amount of blowing that happens. They still stand firm. And the idea is that the roots, they create a support system under the ground. It's not really seen. You don't notice the roots most of the time. I know if you've ever been like me and you've gone outside and tried to dig a hole and you think, where in the world am I in the middle if there's not a tree anywhere around me? Why are there roots under my, I'm digging a hole and I'm hitting roots. They're trees forever away. But the idea is that they put out these root systems, and this is what creates the anchor, the support system that's buried under the ground a lot of times, not seen. But without it, everything we see above the ground wouldn't work, wouldn't last, wouldn't endure. It would fall, it would crumble, it may just die from lack of nutrition. But lots of things that wouldn't hold it up. I was watching a show, a home improvement show that I'm kind of, Amy and I really like home improvement shows, maybe because we do a lot of home improvement projects, but I really like those kind of shows. And I was watching one where a lady was going to be landscaping her yard, and she'd hired a professional landscaper to come in and look at it and figure out what kind of trees and plants and flowers and things that she was going to put out there. And one of the things they brought in on the back of a flatbed were two or three semi-mature trees. And what I mean by semi-mature is these weren't, you know, giant 20-foot tall trees, but they weren't just the beginning saplings either. They had grown a bit and had a pretty substantial root ball, which is that sack that they put at the bottom of the, they wrap up the roots and tie them all in together and hold it up. And that's the, and so it already had some establishment in it. And she dug a big hole. They cut a big hole in the ground and planted the tree down in that and set it, and then covered it back up with dirt and set it all in there nice and everything. And then away from it, quite a ways, they dug a trench all around that. And then they dug it pretty deep down in the ground. And the lady that was doing the not the landscaper, but the lady whose home it was, came out and said, why are you digging the trench around there? And she said, oh, well, that's where we're going to be watering the trees. And she said, why don't you just water them right there where the tree is? She said, no. If you water them right by the tree, the roots won't grow out. And if the roots don't grow out, when the tree grows taller, it won't have any support. And so what they do, and that was the end of that conversation, but what I understood from it is that they specifically don't water right next to the trunk of the tree. Instead, they take this trench and they put it out away from the trunk of the tree a certain distance. And they water it, saturate it there. But the roots are not there. The roots can't get there yet. Instead, if they want the source, if they want that nutrition, that water, and everything else, they're going to have to seek it out. They're going to have to start to filter all around in different directions and put out little feelers. And eventually, once these are established as that's a source of water over there, then those will begin to increase and grow. The ones that don't find water, that don't find any of the nutrition, well, those will taper off and they'll die. But the idea is to put out all of these systems and put the nutrition just outside of where it is to encourage root growth, to encourage stability. Because it's going to build the foundation upon which these trees are going to grow. If you put that too far away, the water, trees won't ever be able to get to it, and they'll die. And if you put it too close, it's like what she said, the tree will grow, have plenty of nutrition. But when it gets to a certain height, gets to a certain width, storm, wind, rain, whatever it is comes up, it'll just fall over. The support system won't be there. See, the idea, when Paul says, let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him, is that we have to be able to put out that system, that stability, that's that root system that's going to be able to not only draw nutrients but anchor us, plant us firmly in the ground so that we're solid in all situations. But I like, you know, the Bible translations all take their best they can from the original Greek, from ancient Hebrew, whatever it is, the language in that section of the Bible, and do their best to interpret it and put it in a language that makes sense and write it in sentence structures that we can understand. But this one misses a little bit of something in the translation. It just says, let your roots grow down. But in the original translation, the way it reads, the way the word reads, is it says, cause your life to take root. Cause it to take root. That it's not just enough that it's going to happen, or, you know, as long as I'm doing things okay and going on and about my business and keeping everything kind of on the up and up and everything, then it's going to happen. You know, it's just going to let it happen. The idea is that it's more of a commanding thing. Cause your roots to go down into Christ. That there is some sort of thing that we must do to encourage that growth, to develop that system. So I thought we might talk a little bit about what encourages root growth. What can we do to encourage root growth? And I don't mind keeping that analogy of the plant or the tree growing forever. We can do that all morning. So if you're more comfortable saying this happens with plants I've seen in my yard, that's okay. I think we can use all that. But I want to ask you first, before I have any say in it, what do you think encourages root growth? Stress or problems? Those are the first two on my list. Anybody else? She's probably looking at my notes. That's what it was. What else? We'll talk about those in a second. What about, I was teaching one of my students today. I use this word in my teaching a lot, the word cultivate. I say, you know, you really have to cultivate how you want that piece to sound. And one of my students finally, I use words like that a lot, and most people don't ever say anything to me about it, but I have this one student, and she has no problem telling me what she thinks about certain things. And so I said, you know, you really have to cultivate the sound that you want in this piece. And she said, what's cultivate mean? And I said, that's a good point. I guess you wouldn't know. And I said, it's a gardening term. I said, I have a tool at home called a cultivator. And it's, if you've never seen this, it's a really nasty looking tool that looks like a hoe with three really sharp prongs. It can have more or less prongs on it. But he basically digs down into the soil, and its job is to rip up things and till up the soil so that what's on the bottom starts to come to the top, and it chops up the soil so that it aerates it and creates kind of a smooth, even textured soil that's equally distributed all the way through, so that roots not only the roots of the plants not only will have an equal amount of nutrition all around and a nice even amount of soil to use, but that it allows the roots to grow easily through that. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to plant a garden, but if you just stick something in the ground, what's all around that hole you dig? Clay around here. I mean, it's the roots will grow, but you're not making it very easy for them. But when you cultivate it, you create an environment where the roots don't have as much resistance to have to go through. They may still have to strain to get to the water, but they'll have a much easier time being able to get to it. And I think in our lives, a lot of times we have those things that are buried down. I know that I have those things, and I'm the only person that has that, but those things that we bury down in us that maybe we don't think about ourselves much, or we don't like to talk about, or we'd rather kind of pretend didn't exist, and we certainly don't want anybody else to know that we have those things. And we bury those things down in there. And I think the idea of preparing that soil, of cultivating it, is just tilling that stuff up a little bit so that we don't pretend it doesn't exist, but we bring it out into the light and just let God deal with it. And say, God, this is me, this is who I am, this is where I am. Because once that's tilled up and everything's out in the open, there is much easier time for God to put his roots in us and us to put our roots out into him, because we're not holding anything back. We're not putting up barriers and restrictions to our root growth. Like I said, it doesn't mean that we won't have to strive to get to the source, to get to the water. It doesn't mean that now it's simple and easy and we just do whatever and things will happen and work. But what it does mean is that as we're growing, we're allowing all of the areas to have an even till, to have an even amount of soil, to bring light into every area of our lives. Now, I want to talk for a second about what Margie brought up, which is the strain, stress. I'm not sure if that's the right exact words. I had down trials and obstacles. I want to show you a picture. Can you put up the PowerPoint again? Can you turn that back on for me? And then you've got one picture. That's the only one. Thanks. Okay. So this is a ficus tree on the edge of a cliff. And I don't know how clear it is from back there. From where I'm standing, I can see it well enough, but I'll describe it still anyway. The ficus tree sits here on the edge of the cliff, and obviously it's grown down into the ground somewhere because it's standing up just fine. And it's rooted down. But you see those long grayish white things running down the side of the cliff face. And then you see the discolored rock there just below the cliff face. Well, that's water trickling out the side of the cliff, trickling out through the ground, that groundwater that's just running down the side of the cliff face. And you see that ficus tree, obviously the amount of water that was available up top wasn't enough. And to get what it really needed, to get the nutrition, to get the water, and you can tell that tree's in good shape. It's bright green. To get the water it needs, those roots grow over the side of the rock, down the cliff face, and stretch down, down, down to get to the nutrition that they need. You see, obstacles, trials, places where we might feel insufficient, places where we might feel like we don't have enough, where we feel maybe a bit weak, maybe like we're not comfortable and there's not enough there. Obstacles like that, those are things that encourage the roots to grow. Because it's in those times that the roots are going to have to go down deeper. It's in those times that the roots are going to have to seek out further, that they're going to have to go in maybe ways that they hadn't thought before to be able to reach the source, to be able to draw in enough. Because it's in those times of trials or trouble that we need extra sustenance, that we need extra strain or extra supply, food source and things when we're under that kind of stress and strain. And so the obstacles, the barriers, the challenges that we face in our lives, instead of shrinking back and saying, no, I think, you know, I'm just going to concentrate on me and think about, I don't know, that's easy for me to do sometimes. And instead, to seek harder, to reach out further, to reach more into God, and reach down deeper and try to put out different things than we've done before, more than we've done before, and in different ways to reach that water source. And here's the beauty. We put all those things out. And you know, if all of a sudden I start watering that tree at its source up there by the roots, these other roots that have grown down the side, they're not going to dry up and shrivel up. They're going to continue to draw up water too. But the idea is that the roots that are put out will continue to draw in nutrients and water. And the other roots that are established are going to continue to draw in nutrients and water. And they're all going to continue to be usable and functional things. So I think these are some of the things that encourage root growth. What about the things that prevent it? You know, the way it's written is that we should cause these things to take root. And in this translation, it says, let your roots grow down. But if you're going to let something happen, that means there must be a way to prevent it. So what would be the things, what would be barriers, preventatives to root growth? Any thoughts on that? What might inhibit root growth? Concrete? That's true. I've seen roots grow into concrete even though too, and seen plants grow up through it. I think that's why they make Roundup. I've used a lot of Roundup on concrete. Some of the same things that cause it can prevent it. So some of the trials or some of the trying to till up the soil and things like that can also be barriers to it. They sure can. I think it's the way we respond to them. Yeah, that's good. The way that we react to those situations, because it can either hinder or it can extend and expand. Yeah. We kind of talked about one of them earlier, which was the watering it right at the root ball. Right, watering it right at the base of the tree, especially when it's newly planted or getting established, in that the roots of a new plant need to be encouraged to grow out. And roots of an established plant have already grown out. Watering them right by the base of the tree, there may not be very many roots right there at the base of the tree where the root tips are what's drawing it in. There may not be very much there. You need to water out away from the side. I know I used to love planting rose bushes. And rose bushes, when you read about how to water them, they suggest that you water the radius of the width of the bush, that's where you water. You don't water right at the stem. You water out. However wide that rose bush is, you water around the perimeter of that, as if you were just going to take the hose and drop it straight down. And the idea is that's where the roots are. The roots don't grow straight down. They grow out, and they spread into those places. And so you water them out because that's where you're going to reach it. And I was reading some stuff about this, and in my Bible I have little blurbs and things that talk about different areas. And one of the places, and we're going to talk more about this next week, it was actually about Psalm 42, but it talked about this idea of watering. Well, I'll say I talked about this idea of it being watering too close to the source, but it talked about the idea of instant gratification. That so many times, I think in life we expect things to happen right away, or this is the I need it right now, and you know I need coffee, so I'll just push the button, or I'll stick it in the microwave, and it'll be ready right away, or I need fast food, or I need this to be printed, or I need this. And we've kind of got a society now that's very easy to get into that instant results for what you need. And the author of the Bible the edition that I was looking at made the point that kids, a lot of times, they really understand what it means to have delayed gratification. You know, they'll ask, can I have this in a little bit? Just wait a little while. We're really good at parents at saying that. I'm excellent at that. I'm a really good person at delaying gratification for other people. And it's easy to say. It's easy to say, you know, can I have this? Yeah, hold on just a minute. I'll get it. Just wait. Be patient. Just a little longer wait. But for myself, I just get up and get it whenever I want it. I hardly ever even ask. And the problem is that instant gratification doesn't really allow us to grow, as this passage says, in our faith. It doesn't really challenge us in any way when we're given things immediately, right away, as soon as we ask for them. When we have everything we need right at our hands, if we just knew that God is sort of like a vending machine that I just put in the money and out comes the gumball and I got what I wanted, where's the faith? Where's the challenge? Where's the growth? Instead, it's just right there. I just hold out my hand and say, okay, God, thank you. And I get it what I need right then. But instead, is Paul, that's why I like this so much that he uses this term, let your roots, because roots, to be encouraged to grow, need to have just the right amount of distance from the source, meaning that the things that they need, that they draw from, need to have a little bit of a delayed gratification, need to have a little bit of a wait so that there is, it doesn't mean it'll always be that way, but there may be times when we feel distant from God. There may be times when we ask for things and it doesn't happen then. There may be times when we ask and it does. But there may be times when we feel like we're hurting, we feel separated or alone a little bit. And it's in those moments that we are supposed to be not just saying, God, why is this happening? Why am I not getting all of these things that I'm asking for? I need this. God, don't you understand how bad I need this? Instead, we're to be seeking more and more and putting those roots out and down so that in those moments we're creating a foundation. We're creating stability. We're creating a system, a network that now knows when trouble comes, when challenges come, when drought or dry spells come, or wind or rain or any kind of challenges in our lives, I know where my source is. And you've already got an established system, a network of this is where I'm going to go. And I'm going to dig in and go even deeper. And I'm going to go further. And I'm going to reach more and more. Because if we want to grow tall, if we want to grow out, if we want to have a real livelihood and a life in the world through Christ, we're going to have to make sure that our nutrition is built up. We're going to have to make sure that we're drawing in the right amount of sustenance. The thing is, through this, though, and even though the point of the message is, of the passage here is about encouraging roots to grow and putting them down and getting the nourishment and the nutrition, the underlying thought that just strikes me, and I come up on this again and again and again, is that we're really never to stop growing. We're really never to reach a point where we say, I have arrived, and now I'm done. Whew, I made it. Luxury. I can just relax and wait, and everything will be fine and dandy now. And I know that not everybody loved school and enjoys learning like that. I get that. I'm a learner. I enjoy learning and reading things, and that's not exactly what I'm talking about. What I mean is that we are never meant to achieve the prize, to achieve the fullness of things in our Christian walk here on the earth. This isn't the goal, saying, I'm a believer, done. Or, I've been a believer for 30 years, done, I'm all set. The idea is that as Paul describes it, not in this passage, but in other places, he said, I keep running as if to win the prize. I keep going and going. Now the prize, we're just not going to achieve it here, and we are never meant to stop striving. That's a little bit of where we're going to head next week. But we're never too young to learn, and we're never going to be old enough to stop. And so I just want to pose these two questions here, and I don't need you to answer these out loud, but just in your own heart and in your own mind, take them home with you in your head and just think about them. Is there a place in your life where you've stopped growing? In your walk where you feel like you've stopped growing? Or is there a place where you wish that you could grow more? Is there a place where you feel like, yeah, it's been pretty good? Somebody says, well, how are you doing in that area? It's going okay. Is there a place where you wish you could grow more? The idea with the root growth is that it's not just from one single root that grows out. It's multifaceted. Each root puts out more and more. If you've ever dug up or looked at the roots on a fallen tree, they're large roots. And then they kind of branch off into smaller, and they branch off into smaller, and they branch off into smaller, and smaller, and smaller. And all around the root system. So that it's not just one part of our life where we're trying to grow or where we're trying to build up this nutrition. It's lots of different areas. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the nourishment aspect of it. The idea is that we grow down and draw up. Growing down and drawing up. I was reading that, I kept thinking more and more about a well. Where we go down, put in a bucket of water, or an empty bucket, draw up a bucket full of water. You go and use it. Come back. Put down the empty bucket. Draw up more water. Go use that. And you continue this cycle over and over and over. Anybody know what happens if you oversaturate a plant? Just water it over and over and over and over and over. Dies, right? It has to have periods of drought, periods of dryness, so it can dry out, periods of watering. Likewise, it needs to be putting those nutrients to use. They need to be doing something. They need to be growing new leaves. They need to be building stronger systems. They need to be putting rings. If it's a tree, they're putting on new growth each year. Those nutrients are going somewhere. They're not just meant to just come in and stop. They're meant to be used so that we can go back and draw in more and more. And it becomes a cycle. And the idea is that it becomes not just a cycle, but a source where we're going again and again and again. And just like the people in ancient biblical times and still today in deserts and places like that, they know where the source of water is. They know where the well is. They know where they're going to go. Say, I need to draw in deeper. Where am I going to go? We know. Because I've gone there before. I go there all the time. And I know right where it's going to be every time I go. Does it mean I'm going to have instant gratification? No. But it means I know where I'm supposed to go to try to find it. To try to find the source that I need. It means I know where I'm going to be seeking. And I know I'm always going to find that water. So what does the nourishment look like? There's a passage in the book of John, two different passages, actually. One where Jesus goes to a well in Samaria. There's a woman there, and he says, "Would you draw up some water for me from this well?" And she draws some up from him. And he tells her a story about water. It says, anybody that drinks this water is just going to be thirsty again. You're going to have to keep coming back and back and back. If you drink the water I give you, never be thirsty again. It's the living water. The water where we never thirst again. And the idea, we see it, it's not said this explicitly in the Gospels. But the idea that we see from Jesus is that daily, Jesus went out and had some time with his Father, with God. And he said things like, "I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. And I only say what I hear my Father in heaven saying." And I think if you're going to say that I don't do anything without seeing it done or say anything without hearing it said, you probably need to be in constant communication or else it's not going to work, right? You can't say, last week this is what he said, I guess I'll just go with that. It's constantly being connected to that source, going to it not just once a day, not just once a week, not just when you need it. I love this idea with water. If you talk to nutritionists or read about drinking enough water or anything, they always say that if you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. If you get to the point where you're thirsty, it's already gone more further than it's supposed to. You're supposed to be hydrated all the time. You shouldn't feel thirsty. And I think that's what Jesus is alluding to. That when you get that water source, you stay so connected to God that what you need, the nutrition, the nourishment, the source that you need, just becomes a connection where you're always finding it over and over again. And there's another place where we get to see the opposite of this in Jesus' life. In John, so that's in John 4. In John 19, Jesus is on the cross. And there are a lot of things said on the cross, a lot of words that Jesus says, and there's a lot of studies about the different words that he says. The one that intrigued me with this is it's the only time that it records Jesus saying, "I thirst." And I know that there are some physical reasons for thirsting. I mean, he just endured scourging. He's endured carrying the cross, torture. I mean, there's a real physical thirst. But I would like to think that the same way that he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" is the same reason that he says, "I thirst." You see, Jesus knew what it was like to be connected all the time. He knew what it was like to not have moments of separation from his Father. He knew the fullness, the life-sustaining, the completeness that gave to him. But in that moment, as sin began to be poured on him, as it began to just layer and layer and layer upon him, and the barriers between him and his Father grew, I think for the first time in his life, he said, "I thirst." And I think that's the connection that we're supposed to have. That it's not meant to be an occasional going and getting our water that we need. It's not meant to be an opportunistic time to go and pray. It's not meant to be just when we're hurting or when we're in a bad place or when we need it. but it's meant to be a continuous source that fills us up constantly so that we recognize the moments when we're thirsty. So that we're not just going and say, wow, I really need God. I'm really thirsty. I'm going to go and get my source what I need. You're already dehydrated. But that we're meant to be able to tell, because we're so saturated with it, that we can tell, I don't have what I need. We can say, whoa, what's happening here? I'm thirsty. I feel like I'm not getting everything I need. See, through the trials that come, and through the barriers, and through the different places in our lives, the roots are really the anchor. But they're the thing that grow below the surface. They're the thing that grow down under the ground. We may not see them in other people's lives, and they may not see it in our life. These may be the moments where we go off by ourselves and pray. It may be the moments that we get up before anybody else is up and take time to seek God. It may be moments in the day when you get into your car to go from one place to another, and just in the quiet of your own space there, pray. And there might be out loud times. There might be open times. But a lot of times these things are below the surface. But if there's anything that's lacking there, if there's something unhealthy under the surface, it's going to reflect in the things that everybody else sees. And the opposite is true also. If things are really, really well watered and the root system is going out and really seeking, it's going to be obvious in the health of the thing, in the health of your life, in the health of the plants that you're growing. It's going to be obvious because you're going to see that growth. Does it mean that it's always going to be easy? No. It doesn't mean that. Anybody that's lived through any kind of season, fall or winter, understands that even the healthiest plants still go through a dormant period. Even the healthiest plants are going to still have to be pruned sometimes. But it does mean that everything underneath is going where it needs to be to support the growth that's trying to happen externally. And that's where he ends this verse. He says, let your roots go down into him and draw up nourishment from him so that you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. How do you grow in faith? Through obstacles, through trials, through the times when you feel distant, through the times when you feel like you're maybe not very close to God. We've all been in those times. But we know that he's there. We know that he's faithful. And through that, our faith grows and builds and strengthens. And the part that is translated strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught, what it really says is that your life will confirm the truths that you've been taught. That the life that you lead confirms what we've told you about who Christ is and who you are in him and what he did for you and what we are supposed to do because he lived. And as we do that, as we let the truth of Christ be confirmed through our lives, we become stronger in him. We become vigorous in him. We grow deeper and deeper in the truth that we've been taught. Now, how do we do this? Everybody has a different way that they're going to connect with God. Everybody has a different path that they're going to seek. Some people like to have a quiet time in the morning. Some people do better at night. Some people like to worship in private by themselves. Some people want to do it in a group. Other people will, if you're a musical kind of person, I personally like to play worship music more than I like to do it almost any other way. But there are lots of ways we can connect with God. And I don't think that there's one right way, but I don't think we should limit ourselves to only one way. That would say, this works for me, this is the way I'm always going to do it. I think that's good. Do it that way. Try other things. Look at other ways as well. You can do things like daily prayer. Take a passage of Scripture and meditate on that. Read a book about God. Read a book about a passage. Attend a Bible study. Listen to sermons online. Go and look at, there's so many blogs and so many things on Facebook these days. I read an article a day almost that's about different things on Scripture. There's a great one, Vineyard Theological Forum, that's wonderful to read about different areas of faith that Vineyard scholars write about. And it doesn't have to be just Vineyard, anything. But to reach out and put out feelers in our lives that are seeking God constantly so that we can put out roots that'll grow down and draw up nourishment from God so that we'll grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truths that we've been taught. Let's stand.